Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network and our radio.com sports sister station, WGR. Sal Capaccio joining us in the sports bar. And Sal, right away, I look at that injury report from today, and I see Daryl Johnson is a DNP again today. Questionable for Saturday, but do you give him a chance at playing on Saturday?
I do. I don't think it's trending in the right direction, obviously. He's had three straight did-not practices, but I think this is an indication, guys, that Sean McDermott's going to leave the door open for the next, 48 hours. And why not? The guy's practiced all year. It's not like he doesn't know the defensive system or game plan. He's been, I'm sure, in meetings all week. So, maybe you give it 48 hours. If the knee gets to a point where, they feel he can play, they put him on the field. If not, then they probably go with Trent Murphy, who's been inactive a lot this year, who also, by the way, played very well against the Ravens last year. So, that would be another reason you might have confidence in that. Or maybe you bring up Mike Love, who played well last week and 2 weeks ago when he was called up for the Miami game.
So I think you said something interesting online here. There's a first, right? Sal, when it comes to facing the Ravens defense, don't slow play it. Usually that's the cliche, right? Hey, the option offense, defenders, slow play this. Make sure you read your keys. Can you kind of explain that a little further?
Yeah, especially when you're at the lower levels, like in high school, basically. In high school, you're going to be, when you face an option team, most of your coaches are going to teach their defensive ends and their linebackers and their safety, however, whichever guys are going to be coming up and taking on the running back or quarterback in those situations, they're going to do what they call slow play, which is don't attack the guy, shuffle your feet, mirror him, string him down the line, make sure he has to hold on to the ball as long as possible before making a decision. And that's how, and then by the time that happens, your reinforcements will arrive. As you get above and higher levels, especially a level like the NFL, the athletes are so dynamic who have the ball in their hands. And then you get to off the charts type of athlete like Lamar Jackson, where if you slow play him and you shuffle your feet and you mirror him, he's going to make you look foolish. You're going to give him time to make a move, to decide what he wants to do. So when I went back and watched what the Bills did last year against Lamar, they did a really good job, guys. They held him to only 40 yards rushing. And one thing that really stood out to me was they attacked. When they saw him have the ball, they just went. They went and they said, we're going to force the issue. We're going to force him to make a decision. Sure, if I miss, he's going to make me look foolish. I get it. But at least I'm going to make him make a move, and then either I'm going to move him, he's going to go into one of my players, or he's going to make the wrong, I got a better chance of making the play that way. Now, you still have to tackle, and that relies on everybody. If he gets loose, he's going to get loose, and, he's down the sideline for a touchdown or a long gain. But, yeah, that's what I meant by that, which is I think the way the Bills are going to play it, and here's the thing. I asked Micah Hyde yesterday on the Zoom call. I said, boil it down to a couple key principles on playing Lamar, and he used the words play fast. So I think that's the game plan here.
Sal, is that, you talk about playing fast, but also just selling out to stop Lamar and stop Dobbins and forcing Lamar to throw the football. I mean, that's kind of the way we've been viewing this matchup for the Bills defense all week long, that if you can get Lamar into throwing the football, you could force him into some mistakes that lead to turnovers.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. It's easier said than done, though. I mean, they're really good. Not just Lamar, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Mark Ingram, whoever gets the ball. They're just very good. They have a very good run game. They have a really good scheme. They're a powerful running team. The Bills have had issues against physical, powerful running teams this year. We saw it last week against a very good, powerful interior offensive line of the Colts. We saw it against the Rams in the second half earlier this year. So, they're going to have to be more buttoned up and better. But one of the ways to counter that is bring an extra guy in the box and dare Lamar and say, okay, hey, you know what? If you can beat us with your arm, then so be it. You're the better player. But we're going to bet that you can't. So we're going to go a little bit harder and extra here against the run to make sure that, you know, we put you in that position.
The one guy that I think should be concerning is Mark Andrews as well, the tight end. He's one of the best in the league, Sal. So is that Milano's responsibility? Might that be Micah Hyde? How do you think the Bills go about defending a tight end? Because last week we saw Jack Doyle make plays for Indianapolis against this Bills defense.
Yeah, you know, the Bills are predominantly a zone team, but they'll play man-to-man. You saw last week a couple of times Milano was trailing him. There was a blown coverage last week, you know, against the Colts. So I think it's a variety of ways, but you're going to see Milano matched up on him sometimes. I don't think you can just dedicate Matt Milano to a tight end. You need Matt Milano in the run game, you know, so you just can't dedicate him to a tight end to cover him as well, because you're going to need all hands on deck to stop the run. You might see, remember Mike Gesicki against Levi Wallace earlier this year, right? Guys, I mean, you might see a corner, depending on how they match him up, depending on where he goes. You know, they're probably going to treat Andrews as a wide receiver when he's split out, I would say. But when he's inside, when he's lined up on the line, then it's more about a zone defense. And, you know, whoever draws that responsibility just has to do a really good job on him. But no doubt, he is a handful. He's very good. And the Bills have been beaten by tight ends this year, so it's a concern.
Sal, I think about last year's game and look at this year's team and think the biggest difference, obviously, is the performance of the Bills' offense and Josh Allen versus how he looked last year against the Ravens. They kind of had their way with him blitzing the way that they do. They are the team that blitzes more than any other team in the NFL, and Allen has shown through the course of the season he will beat you if you blitz him often. We also know that second level of the Ravens' defense is young, potentially exploitable. How do you see this game playing out for Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills? Will they be able to have their way if they can keep them protected and read those blitzes in advance?
I don't know about have their way. I mean, these guys are good still. I mean, this is a very good Ravens defense. They're very coached up. But I think if the Ravens come in with the same game plan as last week, then Josh Allen's going to have a chance to torch them a couple times. Here's the thing. In that game last year, you're right. I mean, they came in here. They had zero respect for the Bills' passing game last year. It wasn't just Josh Allen, guys. I think they didn't respect their wide receivers beating their corners one-on-one. They didn't respect John Brown getting open or Cole Beasley getting open well enough for Josh Allen to be able to find him, because they said, we're just not going to give him time. So, you know, they're not going to let him sit back there. They do blitz a lot. And Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, said that's who they are and that's what they're going to keep doing. But A, Josh Allen is a much, much different quarterback than last year. And B, now you have Stephon Diggs and now you have Gabriel Davis. So, you know, good luck. If you want to match up man-on-man across the board against those guys, they're going to get open. We've seen that happen this year. The Bills are great against man-to-man defenses, and Brian Daboll, you know, schemes that up. And the thing about the game last year was there were chances for Josh. He missed one early on to John Brown. Could have been a touchdown. He throws it to the middle of the field when he should have thrown it to the right side, and I don't know if that was wind or him just missing or whatever. He had Robert Foster on another play later. He had Devin Singletary. There were chances, but Josh was being hurried so much that he just was a little bit off because he couldn't get that timing right. So, you know, this year it's going to be a lot different. I think if they try that, we'll see. The weather could play a factor in there, but to me, guys, I'm welcoming it. Like, let's see it. If the Ravens really want to do that, I think that's the Bills' best chance for success, actually.
Sal Capaccio will be on the sideline Saturday night. Our pregame coverage on ESPN Rochester will begin at 4. So you brought up the weather, Sal. Walk us through this, because we don't know to what degree the snow will fall, but quite often weather is, as they say, the great equalizer. So who would have the advantage if it's light snow? Who would have the advantage if it starts coming down and really heavy?
First of all, I'll be in the moat, not on the sidelines, right? So I have to bundle up as well. And, you know, this year we can't be necessarily where we're normally used to, but it's pretty cool being in there with the fans last week and those kinds of things. I'm close enough to be able to do my job, that's for sure. But I'll be bundled up as well, guys. And if we see, well, first of all, we're going to see what, 29, 30 degrees, basically about that. Right now, calling for like a lighter snow, but as we're getting closer, there may be some rumblings that it could get a little bit heavier because of lake effect. We'll see. And, you know, Lamar Jackson said something earlier this week. He said, I've never played in the snow, and I hope it doesn't snow. And I've always felt the biggest advantage the Bills have in their weather is mental. I think teams think about it. Players think about it. Coming to Buffalo, playing in the elements, even if it's not going to be as bad as they think, it's already in their head. And it seems like it might already be in Lamar Jackson's head. Now, that said, Stephon Diggs also said he doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to play in the snow. I get it. The thing about it is if it's really heavy snow and it starts to stick, I think that's going to hurt the Bills, because their passing game has thrived in warm weather and domes, you know, pristine conditions, they're gonna have a great opportunity to get guys running across and, you know, using their speed and sideline to sideline and things like that. But, you know, if it is light snow and it's a little bit slicker, at least, I do think, you know, Lamar Jackson might have a little bit of trouble, and so will the Ravens run game. It's tough to get that footing in there when the turf starts to get like that, you know, a little frozen turf here or there, some wet stuff. It's tougher. So it's hard to say. I think it depends on a lot of that, but I will tell you, if it gets windy, you know, of course it hurts the passing game for the Bills, but I think the Ravens become even more one-dimensional in that regard, because now Lamar is also, he doesn't want to throw it outside the numbers. He likes to throw it inside to Andrews. And, you know, if he has to throw against the wind, I think that, you know, that's also something that could play in the Bills' hands.
Sal, Sean McDermott gave us some clarity earlier. T.J. Yeldon going to be replacing Zach Moss, who we poured one out for earlier. Antonio Williams. I'm wondering how you see this backfield splitting up this weekend for the Bills with Yeldon, Singletary, and Williams.
Well, I don't think Williams will be activated. I mean, Sean McDermott left the door open. He was asked, you know, he did say Yeldon is going to be active. Now, Yeldon's on the 53-man roster. He's just normally inactive for games. Williams would have to be elevated from the practice squad, which they can do. They get two elevations, and then he'd have to be active. But, guys, Tywan Jones is also, you know, active, and he's not a running back. But including Tywan Jones, the Bills have not dressed four running backs at all this year, only three at the most, and even sometimes two. So that's Singletary, that's Yeldon, and that's Jones. I do not expect Antonio Williams to be elevated and active, but that said, you never know. This is a different kind of game. Maybe the Bills feel, because of the weather or something like that, they want a little extra power running element, and that could happen. I see Devin Singletary basically being the only person carrying the ball for the Bills. Maybe you get a short yardage carry from T.J. Yeldon. Obviously, Josh Allen as well. I think Singletary and Allen, at the end of the day, you look at the box score, if the Bills have 25 rushes, it's going to be basically probably 7 for Josh and, you know, 20 or 18 for Singletary. Maybe one mixed in for T.J. Yeldon. Like I said, I think the biggest difference might be, you know, passing downs, pass protection, things like that. Last year, they used Devin Singletary a lot in the passing game against the Ravens because of the way the Ravens were playing. 8 targets he had in that game. Well, T.J. Yeldon's good out of the backfield, so maybe that's an area where they want to use T.J. Yeldon to split out and be able to be matched up on a linebacker.
Sal Capaccio will be in the moat. Is that how we say it, Sal? You'll be somewhere close to the action moat, telling people on Saturday night here. Tell us your thoughts on Cole Beasley. So the injury report is out today, and Beasley was limited today, but his status, there is no status. He's good to go. But I guess my question, Sal, is we saw him out there, and give him credit, he gutted it out. We could tell he wasn't 100%. How much closer is he to 100%? To what knowledge do we have? What do we know about that knee injury of Beasley, Sal?
We don't know really much. There's never been any clarity on exactly what the injury is, but whatever it is, it's bothering him. There's no doubt. You know, we've all seen that. You guys saw it. I tell you, it was late in the game. He's in the huddle. He comes out of the huddle, and the way he walked to the line of scrimmage or limped there, I wanted to go out there and like walk him across the street, like walk him to the line of scrimmage. I wanted to help him. I mean, I felt bad because you could see he was gutting it out. There's no doubt. But you know, another week here, so that's good. He did not miss any practices this week. He's only been limited, including today. Whereas remember last week, he missed a couple of practices, but then he wound up playing. But in this case, that's not the case. So I think that that's at least a good sign. And then I think here, guys, it's the playoffs and these guys are going to do whatever they can to be available for their team. So whatever's bothering him, you know, he's going to go out there and he's going to try and, you know, give it a go and be the best version of Cole Beasley that he can be.
And Sal, nothing to worry about with Diggs. He was no worse for the wear after that Saturday game against Indianapolis. He's going to be fine as well, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the only person is, you know, Darryl Johnson, as we talked about, but everybody else is looking good. The guy I was actually concerned about was Tremaine Edmonds, because he had been limited with a hamstring injury, and those are always tricky, but I was out there at practice today. You can see on my Twitter feed, I put some video up of him doing some stretching and bouncing around on the legs. And I knew right away, I'm like, okay, he's going to be good. And then today there's no designation for him. So that's good.
What was it like there, Sal, on Saturday? Because yes, we do know some people from Rochester that went out for the test, went back on Saturday and said it was a lot of fun, but did that affect the game at all in any way there, the 6,700 last week?
Yes, more than I thought it would. I mean, when I say yes, I will say this. I had predicted, like, okay, it's not going to be loud enough to really affect, like, audibles or things like that. But, guys, I will tell you, there were a few times where Phillip Rivers actually had to creep to the line of scrimmage to talk to his line because it was so loud. It was amazing. I mean, 6,700 people. Now, one thing you got to remember is There's nobody in the upper decks. I'd say there's, I don't know the exact number, there's probably 20,000 seats in the upper deck, 10,000 each side. So you subtract that from the total, you get down to about 50,000 in the stadium in the lower bowl. That's where those 6,700 are dispersed, through that 50,000 or so. So it becomes a little bit more tight and a lot more people. And on TV, people had told me, and I went back and looked, and I agree that it looked like there were more than 6,700 people there. If you look, if when you watched on TV, until they did the like the aerial shot, but in normal, you know, broadcasting mode, it looked like that. The thing I think that really was impactful was the emotion. I'm sitting there pregame, guys, and Nate Geary throws it to me at 12:05. Fans had started coming in at 11:30. They're coming in, you know, in certain sections and things like that, according to the protocols. He throws it to me at 12:05. There's probably half the fans are in there. And I got emotional on the air because I it was incredible to see the sight of Bills fans finally able to see their team this year and to know how much they care about this team and the connection to this team, to their city, especially in this particular year when we've all kind of needed a little something to uplift us and this team's given it to this community. It was really something to be a part of.
Well, Sal, I'll say this too about Buffalo in general, and I know that this is something that happened downtown, the whole playoffs on the patios series, seeing pictures from that. I know the weather won't be as cooperative on Saturday night as it was last Saturday, but man, that looked like a really cool scene as well for Bills fans to check out that weren't able to actually go to the game last Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's funny, you know, my wife, she watches the game here at home with our son Max, and we, because of the cable system we're on, like, it's a little bit delayed. It's like a, you know, over the internet cable kind of thing, whatever, but it's a little bit delayed. So she tells me, like, she knows when something's going to happen before it happens because she hears honking outside and people screaming, and then she knows something's coming up, so she watches. And, you know, but that just goes to show you, like, there's so many people so engaged around this community, and it's great. It's great to have. You know, we have the Sabres starting tonight, as you guys have talked about, and we're airing here and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we got the Bills in this position. It's good right now in Buffalo in sports, I think, just to be a part of this, especially with what's going on. Like I said, to have something to look to not keep our attention on what else is going on.
All right, Sal, let me throw you a fastball here. Last question.
Yeah.
This is the Ravens. If it ends Saturday night and you're in the final eight, these are all good teams. Is this still a successful season for the Buffalo Bills?
Absolutely. It became a successful season with the win over the Indianapolis Colts last week. They had to win a playoff game this year. They won the division. That was a big step. They got a home playoff game. That was a big step, of course, by winning the division. And the biggest step they had to make was winning a playoff game. If they had lost last week, I'm not going to tell you the season was a failure. I wouldn't use that word, but I would tell you they fell short of expectations.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation this year was to get to this round at least. Now you're here. They are a favorite. They're expected to win. Vegas line. So, you know, we could talk about, okay, they fell short if they lose in this game. I get it. But, yeah, 100%, guys. I mean, they had to win a playoff game. And the organization's stated goal going into the season was essentially that. They've gotten there. And now it's about what else can you do after this.
Well, we're fired up, Sal. We know you're fired up as well. Look forward to the call Saturday evening from the Moat. And let's do it again real soon. Thanks for the time this afternoon, as always, Sal.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Got it. By the way, that when I saw those pictures from Buffalo on Saturday, the playoffs in the patio, did you see any of these pictures? I'm like, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with Rochester? We have so many places that could do that kind of an event.
Well, first of all, it's orange, right? So, like, all right, yes, the East End would be perfect. Oh, wait, we're in an orange zone. Sorry. So that's part of it. How do you get out of an orange zone? I don't know. Governor Cuomo, I'm not answering that. So that's not to take you down that road, but yes, you can have a safe outdoor event where people can be seated and you put up a big screen TV.
No, I mean, the mayor putting out the letter, and I think there was some relief today that I saw for restaurants in the orange zone. But, I'm just glancing at things. I just saw when the mayor of Buffalo came out and was puffing out his chest over playoffs on the patios from downtown Buffalo. I'm like, well, that's what we should do here as well.
Yes, can we close Main Street? Or for crying out loud, Danny Mason. Actually, that'd be a lot.
You can do it East and Gibbs. Yeah. You can do it Midtown. There's so many places. You can do it. Yes, you could do it at the parking lot of Frontier. You could do it anywhere. There's so many places you could do it. Just do it. You missed the opportunity because it was nice last Saturday. You could have done it outdoors, an outdoor venue, an outdoor event. And they took advantage of it in Buffalo. I don't know that that Saturday night will be as friendly.
No, I think we're getting snow too Saturday. Yeah. However, I mean, we can look ahead. If the Bills win this game, remember, the AFC Championship game, that is going to be the latter of the two, 6:40. For the AFC Championship game the following Sunday. So even if we get, we're still in the 10 o'clock curfew here in New York State. Well, that game should be over at 10 o'clock if you have a 6:40 kickoff.
Sal, was great as always. Radio.com Rewind lets you go back and listen to any part of the show that you may have missed for the next 24 hours. And we'll get that up and on demand for you here as well at ESPNRochester.com and the Radio.com app. Next, in the sports bar, we've got some NFL appetizers to serve up.
Oh, Urban Meyer. Will he be the head coach of Jacksonville? We'll tell you about that. What's going on with the Jet search, the Lions search, news from the Steelers today as well as they're making some moves. And who's going to be the next offensive coordinator in Miami? A lot to get to in apps.
All right. What about post-game for Saturday? I mean, look, Gino, I know which direction I feel like you're leaning in terms of a prediction, but you have to be prepared. You have to be ready for any scenario, mentally, physically, emotionally. You got your victory cigar ready to go?
I already have them.
All right.
All right. I've got one for this round, and I've got the other two ready to go because I saw my friend Nick at Mad Hatter's Hideaway on Culver Road in Irondequoit go in and ask for the victory cigar. And then you can go on the back patio Saturday night and light it up and say, that was satisfying. And for the first time since the Super Bowl era, the first time since Kelly against Montana, you'll have your Buffalo team in the AFC Championship game. You got to plan for this stuff, folks. And the place to get cigars in Rochester is Mad Hatter's Hideaway, Culver Road, in Irondequoit, 300 varieties, everything in the great service there, too. Stop in, tell them you heard about it in the sports bar.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.